Welcome, everybody. This is the second week of a sermon series that we launched. It's 5 weeks long. We launched it last week, and it's all about faith. It's all about faith. The sermon series is called Go, and the example of faith is Abram. And what we want to do in these 5 weeks is to say to everybody at IBC who is a Christ follower, based on the example and the wisdom of Abraham and his story in the book of Genesis, we want you to go too. We want you to go. Every one of us who has followed Christ by faith in the Lord Jesus and his sacrifice for us, and we give our lives to him and we follow on with him, we receive the same essential call that Abram received in the Old Testament. As we saw last week, Abram was just minding his own business up in Ur of the Chaldees. He was a successful businessman living in a split-level home with a lazy boy and a TV clicker and a big screen. And he had his jacuzzi, and he had it made, and God called him to go and be a blessing to the world. And the blessing, as we know from history, was that he was the father of the Israelite nation, the Jews through whom the Savior Jesus came. So Abram was called to be a blessing to the world by bringing the gospel to the world. That's the same call that Jesus gave to his disciples in the New Testament. Remember, whenever he called his disciples, he says, "Come, follow me. I will make you fishers of men." At IBC, we believe that as Christ followers, we are called to be fishers of men. We are called, like Abram, to be blessings to our world by bringing the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, where we live, work, and play. Whether you work at home, whether you go to an office, whether you're a student and you go to classes, no matter where you live your life, you are called, if you're a Christ follower, just like Abram was called, to be a blessing to your world by bringing the news of the gospel. That's your call. That's the journey that you're supposed to go on whenever you become a Christian. And for that journey, you're going to need faith. That's why we're doing this whole series. We're talking about faith today. And last week we kicked it off. We defined what faith was. And we saw how Abram listened to the call of God, and he obeyed. And he went without knowing, having trust in God, that even though the promises were not fulfilled, he was going to act and he was going to persevere in faith. I asked all of you who were willing to pray last week, "Lord, interrupt my life the same way you interrupted Abram's life, because I want my life to be a journey of faith in which you use me in my world to be a blessing to the world by bringing the gospel of Jesus." Now, what we're doing this morning is we're telling you that that journey is tough. If you say yes, if you said yes to saying that prayer last week, "Lord, interrupt my life. I want to go on my journey of faith like Abram. I want to obey Jesus calling me to be a fisher of men. I want to be a blessing to my world by bringing the glorious gospel of Jesus." And I know that can mean either doing something different or doing the same thing, only better. If you said yes to that call, I'm going to warn you this morning from the example of Abram that you're in for quite a ride, okay? And it's good, but it's hard. But you're going to see that it's ultimately worth it, okay? This morning, I want to go back to Genesis 12, the second half of Genesis 12, which we covered the first half last week, and then we're going to do Genesis 13. We're going to see Abram as he now is pursuing God's call. He's believing God's promise, and he's going without knowing. And we're going to see that he has this choice almost every day of his life, that all of us have almost every day of our life as called missionary disciples in our world, fulfilling God's journey of faith. We have a choice almost every day to be motivated by faith or fear, by faith or fear. And I want you to go through now with me this scripture. We're going to look at Abram's life, and we're going to find three things that fear will do to you. if you allow fear to motivate you. We're also going to look in Genesis 13 at three things that faith enables you to do. Fear makes you do bad stuff. Faith enables you to do good stuff. And we're going to look at the three things that faith enables you to do. And then we're going to end by giving you three practical steps to get back on the journey of faith if you've been derailed by fear. Okay? So let's go to Genesis 12. Let's look at the second half of Genesis 12 and look at three things that fear will make you do. If you're embarking on this journey of faith, as I hope you all are, watch out, because if you allow fear to motivate you, it will do three things to you. The first thing is it will make you panic. It'll make you panic. Genesis 12, 10, just the first half of that verse. Now there was a famine in the land. That doesn't sound like a whole lot, but in the context of where Abram has come, last week we saw him in Ur of the Chaldees. He's 75 years old. He's married to Sarah. They're barren. They are childless, but it's okay because he's climbed the mountain of financial success. He's a wealthy businessman. He's living in a split level. He's got all the stuff, right? Then God interrupts him. Sends him on this journey. And Abram sets out, man, he is the patriarch of faith. And then right out of the box, it says, now there was a famine in the land. This was not unusual in the ancient world. You know, as in many third world countries today that don't have the resources, famine can strike. And it's very powerful in its effects. I mean, it moves population groups all around as they seek food and survival. Abram comes from Ur of the Chaldees. He's on this great adventure of faith. And the first thing that happens when he gets to Canaan is he finds that there is a famine in the land. Can I just predict for those of you who have just set out on your journey of faith as you are following God and the call of God and the promises of God and the presence of God in your life, one of the first things that's going to happen to you on your journey of faith is you're going to run into the buzzsaw of disappointment or trials or difficulties or pressures that you never anticipated. This is what happens. It's predictable. It happened to Abram. Just when he gets to the promised land, it begins to appear very unpromising. I think Abram got there after having traveled 436 miles on foot, uprooted from Ur of the Chaldees, traveled across the Middle East to the land of Canaan, finally gets to the land of promise, and people are starving. I think Abram's probably first words were, God, where are you? God, where are you? And he panicked. He panicked because he saw the famine and he felt the fear that he'd been deserted. God, where are you? And he never gave God a chance to prove that the will of God will never lead you where the grace of God cannot provide for you. He panicked. And that's what happens to us often. Have you, as a Christ follower on a journey of faith to be a blessing to your world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, have you ever run into a buzzsaw of disappointment or trials or temptations? And it had just set your heart all aflutter with fear that you've been deserted and you panic. Now, I myself have never had that happen to me. Of course I have. In fact, I think it's prescribed. I think it's part of every person's journey of faith is that you run into a buzzsaw that's going to test your faith and whether you're going to walk in faith or whether you're going to succumb to fear and panic. The second thing that fear will do to you is it will make you disobey. It'll make you disobey. Back to Genesis 12:10. Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt, and that is spiritual and theological as well as geographical. He went down. He went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe. Now, do you remember from last week? Where did God tell Abram to go? To the land I'm going to show you, which he later revealed in Haran, was this place called Canaan. God called Abram specifically to go to Canaan. But where did Abram wind up going? He went to Egypt. Egypt in the Old Testament is very significant as a nation. It's geographically and physically a country, you know, with the pharaohs and the dynasties and the pyramids and all the stuff. I mean, it figures in the life of God's people from Moses and the parting of the Red Sea. All the stuff figures all the way through, and it's always pictured in the Old Testament and the scriptures as a metaphor for sinful self-sufficiency. That God's people, when they get in trouble, and this is all through the history of the Old Testament, the kings of Israel in the north and the south, whenever they get in trouble, they stop trusting God and ran to Egypt. Because they were taking matters into their own hands. Because they were afraid that God had deserted them, and Abram thought God had deserted him. And so instead of trusting and following God and his commandments, Abram said to God, look, I got this. I'll take care of this. And he did what the kings of Israel did. Isaiah the prophet condemns them for this. Listen to these words. Woe to the rebellious children who execute a plan, but not mine, and make an alliance, but not of my spirit, in order to add sin to sin, who proceed down to Egypt without consulting me, to take refuge in the safety of Pharaoh, not God. And to seek shelter in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore, the safety of Pharaoh will be your shame, and the shelter in the shadow of Egypt, your humiliation. See, that's what Abram did. He panicked at the famine, and he said, God, I'm going to stop trusting you. I'm going to take matters into my own hand. I know they got food in Egypt. I'm on my way. He disobeyed. I think all of us know who have followed the Lord for some years, we know the powerful pull of sinful self-sufficiency whenever fear creeps into our souls. We stop trusting God. We become disobedient because of our panic. There's a third thing that fear will make you do. We see it in Abram's life in verse 11. Fear will make you quit. First you panic, then you disobey, then you just flat out throw in the towel. And that's what happens here. This is amazing. Fear will make you quit. Verse 11 of chapter 12. As he was about to enter Egypt, right? He's on this disobedient voyage to Egypt. Not supposed to go there. But he's there, and as he's about to enter, he said to his wife, Sarah, I know what a beautiful woman you are. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is your wife. Then they will kill me, but let you live. So, Sarah, honey, sweetie pie, say you are my sister, so that I will be treated well for your sake, and my life will be spared because of you. Here we have Abraham the patriarch becoming the pimp, making his wife a prostitute. Does that shock you? It does me. But fear made him do it. They followed through with the plan. I can't read all the stuff. You should go back and read Genesis 12 and 13. You should see what comes off here. I mean, they tell Pharaoh, she's my sister. And he just moves in right away, takes her into his harem. And basically, with Abram's, you know, approval of this whole plan, for which Pharaoh rewarded him, just like he had predicted to Sarah. Pharaoh gave him land and wealth and more, you know, herds of animals, which was how wealth was measured in those days. And so Abram, you know, yeah, he lost his wife. She's in Pharaoh's harem. But you know what? I'm sitting fat and sassy. I got wealth. I've got a place here in Egypt. And that's just how it's going to be from now on. You realize that Abram knew when he allowed Pharaoh to take Sarah as wife that the whole call of God and the promises of the covenant were over, that he had given up. He had quit. He'd given up. He was so afraid that he capitulated completely and the journey was over. Fear will make you quit. It will. Some of you know about that. Some of you have been through difficulties on your journey of faith, maybe years ago, in which you went from God, where are you, to God, I got this, to God, I'm done. I'm done. Just like Abe, I'm done. And fear made you quit. This is going to be a temptation for all of you. If you've never gone on this journey before, I'm just, you know, eyes wide open. It's quite a ride. It's quite a ride. Especially if you allow fear to be the compelling emotion and motive in your soul as you go on this journey of faith, you will panic, you will disobey, and you will quit. That's what fear will do to you. But what will faith enable you to do? See, you got to make this choice almost every day. Am I going to go fear or faith? Fear or faith? And if you go with faith instead of fear, there are three things that faith will enable you to do on this journey with all of its twists and turns and hills and valleys and difficulties and joys. Three things that faith will enable you to do. The first one is to trust God. Keep trusting God. It will enable you to trust him. With the same trust that you started out with when God called you on the journey, you will be able by faith to keep trusting him. I love Genesis 13. Now we shift away from Egypt and we come to Abram reestablishing his journey of faith. Genesis 13:1 says, so Abram went up from Egypt. Notice he went down to Egypt. Now he's coming up. He's coming out of this thing because he's learning how to trust God. He went up from Egypt until he came to Bethel, which we learned last week means house of God, literally. Beit El, house of God. He went up from the land of self-sufficiency to the house of God, to the place where he had first built an altar. There Abram called on the name of the Lord. There Abram called on the name of the Lord. I don't know what the content of his prayer was. We're not given it in the scriptures, but I have a feeling it was something like this. Sorry, God, I blew it royally with the whole Egypt and Sarah thing. Sorry. I'm back. He called on the name of the Lord and he built an altar. The same place he had built it before. Thus reestablishing his commitment to get back on the journey. Get back on the journey. By the way, if you want to know how all that worked out with Pharaoh and Sarah and stuff, got to go back and read Genesis 12. It's an amazing story and it's very delicious. Because what you have in this thing is Pharaoh takes unwittingly his wife into his harem thinking it's his sister and, you know, and God begins to punish Pharaoh's household. I mean, disease and all kinds of problems coming on. And then God says to Pharaoh, look, you know why all this is happening to you is because this guy from Ur of the Chaldees told you a bold-faced lie. And Pharaoh, the evil pagan king, metaphor for evil in the Old Testament, lectures the patriarch Abraham on righteousness. and then kicks him out. It's delicious. I love it. It's a wonderful story. But Abram realized that God had intervened to save him. Abram realized that without God's intervention, that he would have stayed derailed, living in sin, having deserted his wife for wealth in the land of Egypt. But God delivered him from that. And he comes back repentant to the place where he started his journey. And he says to the Lord, I'm starting a journey again. I'm going to trust you again. I saw how you were faithful to me, even in my sinful disobedience. And it has made me trust you all the more. I'm relaunching, man. I'm taking off again. I'm restarting, rebooting. Here we go. Journey of faith. And he built an altar. He trusted God. I wonder, brothers and sisters, those of you who have been on your journey of faith, receiving the call of God to become fishers of men, to be a blessing to your world with the gospel of God. I wonder if you've had experiences like this, where difficult things came into your journey, it made you panic, and then it made you disobey, and then it made you quit. But then God reached down. He didn't let go of you. He didn't reject you for that. He actually delivered you so that you could start all over again. That is my story. Trust God. That's what faith enables you to do, is to trust God even whenever difficulties have come and you've been tempted to panic and to quit. Faith will enable you to trust God. I think this is the story of so many in the scriptures as well as in our world today. You know, one of the missions that I love so much, ministries in this world, International Justice Mission. Gary Haugen founded this. He was a lawyer with the Department of Justice, but he had such a heart for women and especially young girls around the world who were being sex trafficked. And so he started International Justice Mission. And that place, that ministry has rescued hundreds and hundreds across the globe. IBC has worked with them. And we love IJM. But I didn't know until I was reading some of Gary's book this week, in which he Just Courage is his book, and he talks about how all of that almost never happened. And here's why. He says, I vividly remember when I finally had to make a decision to abandon my career at the U.S. Department of Justice to become the first employee of a not-for-profit organization that didn't yet actually exist called International Justice Mission. What was I really afraid of? See, fear. He says, if my little justice ministry idea didn't work, I would be terribly embarrassed. So there it was, my boundary of fear. I sensed God inviting me to an extraordinary adventure of service, which he was. But deep inside, I was afraid of looking like a fool and a loser. It made him hesitate, and it made it difficult, but Gary trusted God and went ahead and resigned anyway. And he founded the ministry anyway, because he chose to operate not in fear, but in faith. Last week, I told you some stories about IBC in the early days and how God just took us on this adventure of faith, and how so much that we enjoy today in terms of the ministry here and the privilege of worshiping together and impacting the world for the gospel came from this journey of faith. I'm going to tell you another story. This goes back to when I first came to IBC in Allison, 1987. We were located down on Finley Road. It's down near Old Irving Mall. And it was, you know, we came feeling the call of God, the promise of God, and the presence of God. And when we got here, there were some difficulties. For instance, in those days, when we first came, We only had a few on staff. We had a custodian, we had a part-time youth pastor, and we had two retired part-time secretaries in their 70s. That was our staff. Our income, the size of our congregation was tiny, and our income was such that every Monday morning, we'd get together, and we'd do what we call bill triage. That means we'd see how much money came in the offering, and then we would say, okay, which bills can we pay? And we would prioritize, and we always paid our missionaries first. God bless that. Bill triage. In those days, here was the sum total of our technological capacity. We had a mimeograph machine to do our bulletins. How many of you know what a mimeograph machine is? Okay, you just gave away your age if you held it. You know, where you have to type the thing on the thing and ink it up and crank it out and then fold. That's how we did our bulletins. We had a mimeograph machine. We had a few rotary phones. And we had two IBM Selectric typewriters. That was it. And so in those early days, we're coming in, we're doing bill triage, we're dealing with, you know, archaic equipment and little staff, and I will tell you, it was discouraging, it was difficult. There were times when I began to go, Lord, where are you? But we had a group of people here who also sensed that God was calling IBC to become something greater. And we just trusted him. Faith in God's presence and his promise and his call made it so that in spite of all the money problems and all the technological problems we had, I went down one day in faith to the bank and I co-signed on a loan for IBC for $16,500. Which is kind of crazy because I didn't have any money either, to go and buy our first computer system for IBC. It was an Apple computer system. You should have seen our little staff unpacking those boxes. The IBM Selectrics, I don't know. I don't know where they went. Because we trusted God. He called us. Make this into something. And he did. See, faith will enable you to trust God. Faith will enable you to obey God. Fear, panic, and disobedience. Faith, trust, and obedience. I love this verse 8, Genesis 13. And there's a whole lot of background here. Again, you've got to go back and read this. But essentially, Abram is giving Lot, his nephew, a chance to choose the best of the land for his people so that they would split up and Abram would go to the worst of the land as it appeared then, which was Canaan, which is where God sent him in the beginning. And I love this because in verse 8, Abram said to Lot, "Is not the whole land before you? Let's part company." So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan, lush, watered, beautiful. But Abram lived in the land of Canaan, while Lot pitched his tents near Sodom. Abram came home. He came back to the place of obedience. He came back to Bethel. Remember, his disobedience and going to Egypt? He's coming back. He's obeying God now because he has faith in God that God's going to take care of him. He's following the compass, the North Star of faith, which has to do with God's call and God's promises and God's presence. And he's latching onto that. And he's saying, I'm going to become obedient again. And he goes back, gives the best to his nephew, and he obeys God. It was not any easier to do that now than it was before, except now he was being driven not by fear, but by faith. I remind you, last week I gave you this wonderful quote by Warren Wiersbe. He says, "We are not saved by making promises to God. We are saved by believing God's promises to us. How you respond to God's promises determines what God will do in your life." Abram was responding in obedience to God's promise that if you go to Canaan, to this land I'm showing you, I'll make you a great name, a great nation, and I will make you a blessing to the world. He's just responding. And look what God did. He obeyed God because he had faith. If you have faith, brothers and sisters, when you're going through those pressures and disappointments and difficulties and trials and testings that we talked about at the top, where you're launched into this life of faith and following Christ and becoming fishers of men, and you're gonna, what if it means doing something different, great. If it means doing the same thing better, great. You're on this journey of faith, and then the first thing out of the box, you get hit upside the head by a difficulty that makes you panic and want to quit. Basically, what faith will do in that moment, it will enable you to continue to obey, to continue to obey. This week, I reached out to my dear friend, John Gerges, who is a former elder here at IBC. He and Rhonda just celebrated their 36th wedding anniversary. And John is a close friend of mine. And for the last 3 years, I've been kind of walking through with him, with another group of men, some terrible difficulties in his business. He has an oil company that he started for the Lord. It's called GeoPetra. And for the last 3 years, John's company has been suffering. When prices fell from over $120 a barrel down to $36, I mean, it's been such a horrible burden on John. And yet, through all of that, he never capitulated to fear. And he felt like what God wanted him to do, that obedience to God in starting this oil company for the Lord, was to continue with the business and to not declare bankruptcy, even though everybody else was. This week I reached out to John. I said, "Can you explain to us why you did that?" And he wrote me this letter. He says, "Andy, business expedience was what our financial advisor told us, and about what many other small independent oil companies did when oil dipped from 126 to under 30. Protect personal assets and file Chapter 11 to get rid of debt and a fresh start. That's what everybody else was doing from fear. The reasons we did not," John writes, "were the persistent kingdom principles that God laid on my heart from my daily time with God and Sunday sermons at IBC, as well as godly friends' advice. Bottom line, it was more about God's reputation and glory than about what our culture says we should do. We were open about our faith and our walk, and it was more important that employees and vendors and colleagues see God glorified than us protecting assets or temporal things. God used it to grow Rhonda and I much deeper in our love and dependence on him than anything else we experienced over the years. Truly, we can say Jesus is enough." Faith will allow you to trust God. Faith will enable you to obey God. But then the last is, faith will enable you to follow God. Verse 14, Genesis 13. "The Lord said to Abram, after Lot had parted from him, 'Go walk through the length and breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you.'" I'm giving it to you. You don't have it yet. All that I'm going to do here, you don't see it yet. But if you will follow me, if you'll stay in the game, if you'll keep going in faith, I'm giving it to you. I'm going to bring the promise to pass if only you hang in there. So Abram committed to following God again. He went from panic, disobedience, and quitting to trust, obedience, and a renewed passion to follow God. I love what it says in verse 18 of Genesis 13. "So Abram went to live near the great trees of Mamre at Hebron. where he pitched his tents, there he built an altar to the Lord. Remember last week, Abram pitched tents, but he built altars. And the altars were permanent signs of his commitment to follow in faith, even though the promise was not yet fulfilled. He went to Hebron. Hebron means literally fellowship. Fellowship. What Abram commits himself to is to following in fellowship with God, even through passages of life where the promises had not yet been fulfilled. He chose fellowship over certainty. And it was faith that enabled him to do it. I want to close with one last story of an IBCer. If John Gerges is IBC's Abraham, then Sosama is IBC Sarah. Sosama is, she's a sister, she's a member of IBC. She's just such an inspiration to me. I sat with her this last week and I just reveled at the light in her eyes as she told me her story of following God through very difficult passages in her life. She was born and raised in India. She was born with a cleft lip, which made her parents' neighbors say to the parents, "You need to discard her." They didn't, thankfully, but they sent her to America. She had the deformity repaired, and then she married a man that came over from India, an arranged marriage that her parents had arranged. He came over and married her and had three children with her, but he abused her all the time they were together because he said, "Your parents never told me you had the cleft lip." They eventually divorced, leaving Sosama to raise those three children by herself while she was getting her master's degree in nursing and working at Parkland Hospital. All this time, she's following God. She's trusting God. She loves the Lord. And she's on this journey of faith through these very many trials and testings and pressures and difficulties. She didn't freak out. She didn't panic. She didn't come disobedient. She didn't quit. Rather, she trusted God. She obeyed him. And she continued to follow him as a missionary disciple to take the good news of Jesus to everyone around her. God has used her to start 8 churches around the world, 7 in India, 1 in Sri Lanka. He has used her to send bicycles to African missionaries so they can ride their bicycles from church to church and preach the gospel. She has paid for a well from Waters Basic at IBC in Africa. She's an amazing woman of faith. And all of that she did before the promise was fulfilled. As I sat with her this week, she just glowed as she told me about her now adult children following the Lord and doing great things for God. Promises being fulfilled. But she had to follow in faith for a lot of years just because she trusted the Lord. Man, what an inspiration. If you're here this morning, you're a Christ follower, you're just starting on this journey of faith as a missionary disciple to let God make your life a blessing to the world in which you live, work, and play, the people around you, as you share the blessings of the gospel with them. I encourage you on your journey to set out with eyes wide open, realizing you're going to run into opposition here. There's going to be ups and downs. There's going to be difficulties and so forth. But guess what? If you're on a journey of faith with the call of God, the promise of God, the presence of God, you're going to do just fine. You're not going to panic. You're not going to disobey. You're not going to quit. Rather, you're going to trust. And you're going to obey, and you're going to continue to follow. Now, what about those of you who did fall off the wagon because of fear? What do you do? 3 quick things. In these 3 quick things, I want to be a part of your time at the altar as we celebrate the Lord's table today, if you have allowed fear to motivate your heart over faith, and you have panicked and you have gone off the tracks and you have given up, how do you get back? Three simple steps. First of all, go back to where you last had your bearings. Remember Abram in Egypt? Whenever God delivered him and he wanted to get back on track, what did he do? He went back to Hebron. He went back to Bethel. He went back to where he last had his bearings. You need to come back. You need to come back to where you've started but fell from, but come back to it. Secondly, when you get your bearings, consult your compass again. What was the call of God? The promises of God. The presence of God in your life that enabled you to launch that journey in the first place. That's your compass of faith. Consult that compass. Review that call. Review God's promises. And then finally, believe that compass and resume your journey of faith. Get back on the road, just like Abram did. You got the compass again. You got the call again. You're back where you started. You launch out again. And you're going to follow God. I love the chance for us to celebrate the Lord's table because it is also a chance as we recognize all that Jesus did for us in his walk of faith, bringing the gospel to the world. He enables us to do too. And as we remember his broken body and his shed blood for our redemption, for our blessing, it motivates us to want to go back to Hebron, get back to Bethel, to review the compass of his promises to us, and then to trust that compass and launch out into following God again, older and wiser. So in the Last Supper, when Jesus was in the upper room with his disciples, he brought out the bread and he gave thanks for it. He blessed it. He said, "This is my body, which is given for you." Later, he took the cup and he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood." Every time you eat this bread, every time you drink this cup, remember me and look forward to the great breaking of bread and drinking of the cup in heaven when we're all together. This is a great launching pad for your journey of faith. Please use it in that way. If you're unable to negotiate the stairs down to participate, but you want to receive these elements, just raise your hand. The ushers will come and serve you where you are. And if after you've partaken, you'd like to tarry at the altar or light a candle or pray with one of our blue candle intercessors, please use this as a wonderful time of worship and commitment and faith. Let's do that now.